The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and this week's edition of The Week in Comics. Hey, this week, you could see by the title, DC Rage. Something's a-brewing. John was not a happy camper. I got the notes. I didn't know anything about this until like an hour or two before the show. And I did a little bit of research off of what John told me. And I think we need to stand by John and understand this. It's a pretty tough one for store owners, and this show's, it's about comic book stores and the owners and the conversations we have, and this isn't a pleasant one, but it's stuff that's going on and makes it tough, and hey, we get to the good stuff, we get to the bright side, but it's definitely something we need to support John in this and all the store owners. It's not easy. So, hey, let's get into the store and we eventually have some fun, but John has a bone to pick and I agree with them and let's get to it. Hey, John, Jesus, don't throw stuff at me. I know you're upset. We'll get to it.
Whew, good thing you throw me off with all this method acting. I was like, is this part of the show, or did something just happen?
Why? Because you're looking at me, and I actually ducked.
Yeah, I was like, what happened? I thought there was a bug flying over your head or something.
John, it's not a lie if you believe it.
I know. You just take me by surprise sometimes.
I know. I'm in here. I'm doing my little acting here, and I look at the camera, and you're, like, seriously concerned.
I know. I was like, what happened?
Oh, man. All right.
It's only funny for me and you, but everybody else is going to listen anyway.
I know. See, that's what we've got to get on YouTube somehow for these one instances in 2 years.
Yeah. Oh. Once every 50 weeks or so, it happens.
Yeah, we do something funny to us. Yeah. To us. Hey, but hey, I got you laughing. I got you smiling. Let's get right to it. I got your show notes.
Oh,
and I was like, uh-oh.
What might we be getting to?
let's get the negative out of the way first, and then we'll have our normal show. I want to hear everything. What is it? What's going on?
Well, I don't know how many of our listeners keep track of comic book news, but last Friday, DC dropped a bombshell completely out of nowhere and decided that they were no longer going to be distributing through Diamond Comics. So this, I don't even know how to put it into words. I want to say I don't have the words to describe how I feel about this, but I do have them. You just won't let me use them. But
okay.
But but not to put too fine a
point. It's going to rain tomorrow, so I can stay up extra late and do some editing. What are you going to say?
This is just such a terrible situation that they've forced upon all of us retailers, completely out of nowhere. We talked to, I don't know, what is it now, about 4 weeks ago or so, about DC and their plans to start redistributing books. It has to be longer than that because I think Diamond's actually been distributing now for 4 weeks. So, I lose all track of time with
It's about April that they stuff, came but, up with the, they announced their plan.
Yeah,
so several weeks into weeks
the
ago.
Yeah, several weeks into the shutdown, DC came up with a plan to start distributing new comics back into the marketplace outside of Diamond using basically our competitors. Midtown Comics and DCBS, who are two giant online retailers. Some stores opted to to go with this service and get these books in. Most stores, myself included, opted to stay with Diamond and wait it out and wait till the books were shipping through Diamond. So now, and, you know, I guess flashing back, I went through a number of reasons why I didn't think this was a great idea to be using our distributor, I mean, our basically our competition as our primary distributors. But now it doesn't really matter, right? Because we have no options. The choice has been taken away from us, and we are now in a position to where we have to choose one of these two distribution methods to get DC Comics into our stores. So, moving ahead, flashing back to Friday, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we get an email from DC Comics dropping this news on us. You know, middle of the day on a Friday afternoon when they're going to go radio silent for the entire weekend.
Exactly.
And not really deal with any of the fallout or repercussions of this. You know, I read the email and, you know, I spent about a minute and a half or so going through the idea in my head of whether I would just cease carrying DC Comics altogether in my store. And then cooler heads prevailed, right? Like, there's no way that that can happen. So, unlike most, I don't want to say most of the retailers, but unlike a lot of the retailers who are still griping about it and not really taking action, about 6 minutes after I read the email, I had accounts set up with both distributors. So, I mean, I just immediately went and opened up my accounts and, you know, decided that, you know, I was going to have to play ball with this. And then I went to Facebook and started to observe the language show that was going on in the DC forum.
Right.
I mean, as of now, I think this post that, and basically the post that they put in the Facebook forum was exactly the email that we got. They just copy and pasted it into their Facebook group as well. At last look, it had like 600 or 700 comments on it. Literally not one positive comment.
Like, right.
Like literally nobody is happy about this move. I really don't want to get into like every single bit of detail on why this is bad for me personally as a store, but because for the end user, which is really you and all of our listeners, you should see no difference.
Right.
You know, nothing will be different for you. Your books are still going to show up at your comic book store, and you're going to get, you know, get your books at cover price, and really most people don't even need to know that this happened. But for anybody that runs a store, there are so many issues that are being caused by this that it's just, it's really going to be a nightmare for us. So, like, I don't know what else, like, if you have questions, like, I don't know how much more you want to go into it, really. Like,
well, I have a
like
couple
I said,
of
I don't
questions.
Really want to go down, I don't really want to go down the laundry list of all the issues for me, but.
Well, before I get to the questions, what about, I think the best way, in my interpretation of everything, in our conversations that we've had about this, it's just to summarize, it's a giant conflict of interest. And that I mean, that's the best way, because, I mean, that's the definition of a conflict of interest, is you have, right. even if everything goes smoothly, there's always that doubt in your mind of, like, what if stuff goes wrong, am I going to get my right. books, or do these quote-unquote distributors who aren't really, they're retailers themselves, do they take care of themselves first, and then I get my book? I don't know. And you'll never know the answer until something goes wrong. And then when something goes wrong, you have doubts on, did they screw me or did DC screw? Where did the mistake happen? Whereas if it's a neutral party like Diamond, you know, there's less doubt.
Right.
Put it that way. Is that a fair summarization of all of the problems? But that's a.
Well, that's not all of the problems. A lot of the issues for us are financial, but as far as, that the conflict of interest, that's essentially in a nutshell the biggest problem. Now, to be fair, Lunar Distribution, which is DCBS, has sent an email out to
That's a nice set of initials.
Yeah. I think it's Discount Comic Book Store is what it stands for. But they did send out an email, you know, trying to be transparent, saying that they're aware that a lot of retailers have concerns because their parent company is DCBS. And they are trying to assure us that even though they're owned by that company, that DCBS is also just a client of Lunar Distribution and will not be treated any differently than any other account. But,
right.
You know, I don't know how far that goes. And then, you know, you get down to the bottom of the email and the footer of the email basically is coming through DCBS distribution. So,
right.
It's nice that they put that out there and try to kind of assuage our doubts a little bit, but I don't know that I buy that 100%. Now UCS, which is Midtown, has not sent a similar email, at least yet. At least yet. I mean, they may as well.
You would hope they have the same sentiments. Otherwise, I mean, you know, they're not sitting there going, well, we're going to take care of us and hopefully you get yours too.
Yeah. Now, and again, to be completely fair, the stores that have used both of these companies, you know, they were using them, you know, prior to this happening, have had nothing but good things to say about the service that they've received. So, you know, they've been pretty happy with the condition of the books coming in. They've really been a lot less damages and errors than from Diamond necessarily. So that's not really a bad thing. But the biggest issue is the shipping and the cost of getting these books outside of, or basically from another distributor. You know, the margins on comics are not great to begin with. Shipping on comics is astronomical, as you can imagine. Like, these books are heavy. They don't, you know, they don't come for free. So by the time you now, the shipping is offset somewhat because you're getting them all from Diamond, and a cup, you know, the extra DC books don't necessarily add a whole lot more or less to the shipping total than, without them. But now we're paying basically freight for everything we get from Diamond, and now we're going to be paying full freight on a smaller subset of books from one of these other two distributors. And really, that's good. That's the biggest issue, is the cost and the fact that we're really going to be making next to nothing on carrying DC Comics. It's almost like a break even. It's like the milk or the eggs, you know, getting it at the back of the store type of thing. Now, again, to be fair, I have not received a shipment yet, so I don't have firsthand experience. I only know what I read from the people that are using them. But that seems to be a major concern to the people that are getting their books through the through this company already. Not to mention the issues that it's going to pose for basically any store outside of the U.S. because the shipping to these stores outside of the U.S. is almost going to be a losing proposition. Like, they're going to lose money on selling DC Comics, which again is not good. Isn't good for anybody. For those who like to think, I know we like to think that the U.S. is the only country in the world that wants to read comic books, but we're not, you know, they're read all over the world. And, the fact that these other countries are going to have to, like I said, essentially lose money to carry DC Comics is a huge miss.
Now, wouldn't DC step in about something like that?
Well, they're not. I mean, I know, not as of yet.
Not as of yet, but I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, like, you'd think they would eventually. Well, like, it just doesn't sound like good
business.
The
whole thing is, we don't know what they're doing because they haven't said a word since Friday. Like, there's been literally no response to any question that's been posed in their Facebook group. Not one question has been answered. They're dead. They're silent. It's like they've gone underground.
Yeah, that could also be they're reading the landscape too, and hopefully.
But the thing is, you already threw the grenade. Like, you can't hide from the wreckage. Like, there's no way that they didn't know that this was going to cause upheaval when they did this on Friday, and to not have a response or a plan in place to assuage our concerns or fears about all of this is totally ridiculous. It's a total lack of any consideration for the retail sector. That's the biggest part of it. Like, I don't even know how to, I don't want to get into it, but like, I am so disgusted with the way they handled this whole situation. Like, I can't even put it into words. Like, it's been 4 days now or 5 days, and like, I'm still fuming about it. I'm really upset about this. You know, I sent you a message earlier, and I guess I'll put it out here too. Like, I have a business to run, and I'm not stupid. So I am going to continue to carry DC products in my store. Like, I'm not going to cut off my nose despite my face. But on a personal level, it will be some time before I will consume any DC media or product. I won't read a comic. I won't watch a movie. I won't watch a TV show. Like, I have no interest in supporting them in any way, shape, or form. I haven't read Batman 92. I haven't watched Harley Quinn from last week. I haven't watched Stargirl. Like, I on a personal level, I want nothing to do with it. I'm sure I'll get over it at some point. I don't know what the time frame is, but I know it's not today. And it could be a while. I don't know if you know this about me, but I can be somewhat spiteful.
I'm kidding. I'm sitting here going, you know what? I'll do that with you. And then I'm like, wait a minute, he's pretty stubborn. That's a long time.
I haven't been to Denny's in 16 years because they made me mad 16 years ago. So I can hold a grudge.
Yeah, you can, but
I can give up on things. Now I could probably give up on Denny's like,
a lot
I'll be
easier
back for the Snyder cut, probably, but
yeah.
It really rubs me the wrong way, and it really leaves a bad. They have left a really bad taste in my mouth. Like, even at a store level, I will carry their product, but I won't hang their posters in my window. I will not go out of my way to like promote their product past the point where I have to make sales. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm not going to do anything extra. I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not going to do it. They've really just lost a lot of consumer confidence. And again, not just with me. I mean, this is the sentiment across the board. Like, I don't know if you talked to Friendly Neighborhood about this. And I'm sure. Now, and again, I don't know even, like, I really haven't talked to a single customer about it because they don't need to know. And
right.
You know, now a couple have asked me, and that's different. Like, I have no problem getting into it if you bring it up and you want to know. But I haven't volunteered the information to any customer. I saw stores, you know, immediately posting things on their Facebook pages and things like that. And I will not do that because I don't think they need to know that anything is going on. Like I said, on a personal level, like, I don't want anything to do with it. Like, I just can't even be – I'm beside myself with how angry I am. It's the way they did it. Like, that's the whole thing. Competition is fine. And if they want to open up other distributors into the marketplace, so be it. But don't force us into having to split our shipments between – like, if there's going to be another distributor in the market – let me get all my stuff from them. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be in a position to where having three distributors to choose from is great if I can get all my stuff from all of them.
Right.
You know? Because on top of all of this, neither one of these two companies are going to distribute their graphic novels. So I had to open up yet a third account with Penguin Random House to buy their graphic novels directly, which cost me money because I had to place an opening order for books I didn't really need just to open my account. So,
jeez.
You know, that was $250 that I didn't really plan on spending just to get copies of books as extras. Like, I got extra Watchmen's and extra Killing Jokes. Like, these are books that always sell.
Right.
And it won't hurt me to have a few extras laying around, but I didn't need them.
Right. Just to open an account, you had to.
Now, again.
Well, luckily, it comes at a time when you have extra money, right?
Exactly. that's the whole thing. Like, this thing could not be less tone deaf to the situation that's going around in the world today. Like, there were so many stores that were posting on their Facebook page on Friday that was their first day back in their store being open to the public. And that's the news that gets dropped on them when they're already stressed, like, so stressed from being closed for 2 months and,
right.
You know, should be super happy on Friday to be finally back open and dealing with their customers. And then they get this news dropped on them and have to stop and react right away because there's no time. Like, we have to start ordering DC Comics from the new distributors Monday. So you didn't have time to fool around. Like, you had to get these accounts settled and ordered, and that takes time. It takes time to open accounts with new distributors. You got to fill out their applications. You got to submit all the documentation. You know, you got to do all the tax ID and all the runaround that they want you to do. And you only had to pick one. Now, I opened accounts at both of them because why not?
Right.
You know, I mean, I got the same terms from both of them, but depending on restocks or what have you, it might be good to order one from 1 week and from one the next week or what have you. But yeah, like I said, there's lots of little things. Like for me personally, it breaks Comic Hub. Like, Comic Hub doesn't work for DC anymore. So my customers cannot go on to my system and pre-order any DC comics because all the information that populates that system comes from Previews and Diamond. It doesn't come from either one of those two companies. The order that has to be done this week will not be downloaded into my system. So when I'm ordering off of their website, I don't know how many subscribers I have for any of those books. I'm going to have to manually look the time it's going to take to do an order that should take 20 minutes. It's probably going to take me hours to do. Until Comic Hub can get this worked out, and I'm sure they will, but they weren't working on this solution because it was dropped in our laps completely unannounced. So, like, if they would have taken the time to give us some notice. So I don't think people would be nearly as upset if we were just given the time to make the arrangements we need to make for this system to work. It just wasn't given to us. And there was really no reason for it not to be. Like, the response that Diamond put out to us, like, they were taken as surprised as everybody else. Like, they were also not expecting to get their contract terminated on Friday.
Yeah.
Like, they really didn't know it was coming. The other part is it brings up the issue of what's the solvency of Diamond going to be? Like, can they survive losing their number two publisher? Like, I don't know what their business model looks like, but they may not survive this. And if they don't survive it, now where do all the other comics come? Like, it really is a huge deal. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really not a good situation. It really wasn't a good week. It's going to, for us, for the stores, again, it's going to cost us time and money at a time where neither one of those things is abundant.
Exactly.
Once again, had this been done 4 months from now after all this was over and everything was kind of back to normal, probably would be less of an issue.
And maybe with some notice. Like, hey, this is the plan we're going to go. Just be forewarned that we're working to keep everything smooth. Let us know your questions, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But to just, like, you know, rip it off like a Band-Aid and be like, all right, deal with it.
Yeah.
That's tough. It is. And like you said, there's upfront money that needs to be done. It's a whole host of problems.
Yeah.
That sucks. Sucks.
Well, and like the other is, like, again, in the short term, like, I had a customer come in Friday afternoon and wanted to special order two DC trade paperbacks. Well, Diamond, Zadis, like, they're not showing stock on that anymore. As of Friday afternoon, all that stuff was, I guess, turned off. I don't know. But, like, I had to tell my customer, no, I can't order these books for you. Because Diamond isn't going to fulfill them for you.
Right.
So, these two DC trade paperbacks that you want, I'm sorry, I guess go to my competitor or Amazon and order them. Like, what am I going to do, you know? Because I didn't have my account set up with Random House yet. That took until today to finally get approved. I did that on Friday also. So, so again, from my perspective, it's already costing me money.
Right.
And goodwill with my customers. So it's, and that's, like I said, for me, that's unacceptable. Like I can't abide that because it's tough enough trying to get sales right now as it is. And having supposedly our, like I said, quote unquote retail partner actively working against me being able to make money is,
right,
is an issue, you know? So I'm sure there's other things, there's other points and there's other things, but I don't want to dwell. We're already 25 minutes into this and like I could go all day griping about this. So
yeah,
unless you have more specific questions about it.
No, I think what we'll do is we'll touch on it, see how it's going. Cause I'm hopeful that it, you know, in the long run, it works itself out but they didn't do it the right way.
No.
First off. So that'll never change, but hopefully everything works out business wise for you that, you know, you're right. The customer hopefully never knows, you know, that's behind the scenes stuff, but that's what, you know, we talked a little bit before we started recording and it's like, but this is what our podcast is.
Yeah.
You know, and
most people don't care how the sausage is made. So.
Right. But that's what this podcast is. It is kind of how the sausage is made. It is the comic book store. And this is something that if I literally walked into your store, I'm going to talk to Ernie about this at Friendly Neighborhood. I'll talk to Motor about it at Legends, get their feelings on it. And it is a comic book store conversation. It's not a pleasant one, but hey, that's what we are. And, you know, we try to be the bright side, but you can't always be. And, you know, stuff happens. So, I feel bad for you and all the other stores. It's a pain in the ass.
I tell you one way that it is going to affect customers though. Going forward is, and at least for me, and I'm sure for most people too, it's going to be special orders and reorders because it is now no longer cost effective to order individual books for people because the shipping is going to be prohibitive. Like again, I sold out of Batman 92 today. If Diamond had more in stock, which I don't know, I never even looked, but let's say Lunar has more in stock. And you come in and you want to order a copy. I could subsidize that by adding it to the Image trade paperback that I needed and the Marvel issues that I needed, you know, and put a box together and get it shipped in. But that one comic that you need now to come from Lunar all by itself, you're not going to get it.
Right.
There's just no way you're going to get that because I cannot afford to order it for you. So
wow. Yeah.
It is going to affect customers in that way. Reorders of sellouts and things like that are going to be an issue. Graphic novels, same thing. Minimum order for Penguin is $200, I believe, is the minimum order. So again, if you come in and you want that one Batman trade paperback, unless I need $190 more books to go with it, you can't get it. Or you're going to have to wait 2-3 weeks until I have an order, because I can't afford to just keep ordering extra Watchmen and Killing Jokes every time somebody wants a trade paperback. Like I don't need 900 copies of the Watchmen in the store.
Right.
Or to be ordering a bunch of books I don't need just to service that one customer. It would be cheaper for me to pay full price on Amazon and get it shipped and just sell it to the customer at a break even than it would be for me to order stuff I don't need,
right?
To get them that
book. Exactly.
So, it will affect. Now, again, every store will have different situations. You know, some stores will need to do weekly reorders with Random House. For me, I won't need to do weekly reorders. I don't sell enough books every week to justify that separate order. So, So again, that it will be different per store, but I mean, it is going to be an issue for customers. So that's the one thing that they may face going forward. So my recommendation would be, which it always is anyway, is make sure, especially with DC product, that you are telling your stores in advance what you want. Because in most cases, you're only going to get that one order go around and that's it. Reorders are not going to be cost effective for most stores. So.
Oof.
Yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out as it goes through, as it goes. Right. And
that's always my advice anyways. Tell your stores in advance what you want. But now it almost, especially with DC, it becomes a little bit more critical because there's a good chance if you miss it, you're not going to get it.
Right.
So.
All right. All righty. So, is that good for this week?
Yeah, I'm going to step down off my soapbox. Okay. And,
step easy. Don't want you to fall. All right. What else do we have for? Let's get to some exciting, like good news. Like, what do we got? Anything good?
Well,
you're rubbing
things,
your forehead like, I don't know.
Well, there's a couple things. It looks like Marvel is going to go ahead and release their two Free Comic Book Day issues in July. So Free Comic Book Day obviously was supposed to happen the first Saturday in May, and it got postponed. It is supposed to be rescheduled, but we have no idea when it's going to happen. But Marvel's two Free Comic Book Day books directly kick off big events for them going forward that basically they need to have scheduled. So they can't afford to wait for Free Comic Book Day to happen. So they're going to basically they're going to send their two Free Comic Book Day books out in July. One of them is the X of Swords, which is the Jonathan Hickman event centered around the X-Men. And then there's a Spider-Man Venom Free Comic Book Day book by Donny Cates, and that's going to kick off a big Spider-Man and Venom event. Both of those are going to happen after these release. So I would just say contact your stores beforehand, because depending on where you live or what their rules are, they may try to have a little free comic. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to distribute them at this point. I would just say contact your store if you want these and see what each individual store is doing as far as getting these books to you.
Okay. All right. What else?
And then the last thing I had is just, and I only really highlighted this because this is the first thing that I've seen go back into production. But I saw a note yesterday saying that Into the Spider-Verse 2 has officially started production. And again, I think this is the first thing I've seen.
Because it's animated and they can?
Maybe.
Like, it's a little bit, they're not like on location anywhere. It's going to be locked down or.
Yeah, maybe. Whatever. I mean, I know a lot of the animation is still done with motion capture and, there are still people involved. But
it's
I'm
individuals.
Sure they can get
it's a small crowd because you're bringing people in to do voices and whatever.
Yeah. I know that. We talked about last week how the other studios are starting to gear up and things should start going back in. But this is the first thing I saw officially. So that's why I just thought it was noteworthy because, like I said, it's something that's actually started. So.
Yeah.
Right. And that's it. That's all I had for news.
All right. I got just a quick little thing on the Snyder Cut. Did you see the Zack Snyder is confirming that he will change the color grading on the infamous Red Sky? Did you see
it? I didn't read it. No.
Nope. Okay.
If it's a DC headline, I skipped right past it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Spiteful, remember?
I know. I didn't know. I didn't know if
no,
maybe
I
this
didn't,
happened
I didn't look
before
at it.
Before the event.
Yeah.
No, it's... So I found this interesting because... Listening to AV Rant, my home theater world that I listen to, and Tom Andrey actually mentioned this a long time ago, and this is the depth that people go to when they critique a movie, I should say, And this is one of those things where ignorance is bliss a lot of times. And I didn't pick up on this, but I know he did. And I was like, wow, that's some real critiquing there. And basically what he was saying is like the costumes, everything in this movie was designed with a certain color scheme in mind. Okay.
Right.
And when it was shot and then edited by Joss Whedon, everything was done differently than what Snyder had in mind, and the color schemes were off. And like I said, it's like Tom had mentioned this a couple of years ago and how he didn't like the movie because it just didn't look right. And I'm like, and now it's coming to fruition that you're seeing that it's like, nope, I'm going to put the color schemes in that are supposed to be there. So now the costumes, the lighting, it should all be correct. Because believe it or not, I mean, how they design these costumes has to do with the lighting in mind. It's like they do because of the CGI that's going to be involved with it, with every, you know, all of that stuff. It all plays together. And when you have one director come in and redo and change the color schemes, well, the costumes still look the same. So now this is one of the reasons why I look at this movie and go, well, I don't think it's that bad. But people that are in the know that can pick up on stuff like this, like, that just looks horrible. That doesn't look right. And it's like, you know, and now I'm starting to see that because I have people pointing it out to me. But I think this is just one of those like in-depth things that, you know, we have no idea what we're in for with the Snyder Cut and how deep this goes and how far this $30 million is going to reach to, you know, there's things at play here that most people, we don't know how the sausage is made. And we're starting to see a little bit of that. And one of the things that's going to really intrigue me about the Snyder Cut will be the making of the Snyder Cut. You know, and we're going to have...
Yeah, which I'm sure it'll be out there.
Of course. And then we own both... We're going to have both versions. And you're going to be able to compare and contrast and all of that fun stuff. And, you know, who knows if it's... We'll be the judge on whether it's better or worse or the same, but I think the comparison, it's going to be a lot of fun. And hopefully you're over your, you know.
Well, I hope so.
Your boycott.
I hope so.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll see how I feel. Really, a lot of it's going to depend on how this goes forward. Like if I'm literally every single Tuesday going,
angry?
Goddamn DC.
Right.
It's going to take a lot longer. If things go smoothly and I don't really notice too much of an issue, then I'll get over it a lot quicker.
Of course. Yeah. Yep. So we had a few listener comments from our podcast on Monday. We had Adriano coming in with, what a masterstroke of casting Chris Evans turned out to be. Captain America has easily the best trilogy of the MCU, which
I agree.
Yes, absolutely. I think like when we talked about Chris Evans, it was one of those, nobody really cared either way, you know, and that's how far he took it. It's
right.
It's not one of those where we were all angry and then it turned out to be great, but it was like, oh, but then you're like, now we can't imagine anybody else being, you know, Captain America. And like what you said, was it John Krasinski? He was supposed to be, and I'm sure he would have been great, and we'd feel the same way right now. We'd be like, nobody else could be that. And then be like, can you believe Chris Evans was supposed to do it? It's like, I'm sure we
would. Human Torch, really?
Yeah, like, that would have been stupid. But now look at us. So, let's see. We have another one. Tom Bellows, at T Bellows on Twitter. How did you guys disrespect Sebastian Stan like that?
I didn't see this tweet.
You didn't?
Did we disrespect him?
Yeah, listen, he goes, it's a great tweet. He goes, how did you guys disrespect Sebastian Stan like that? He was in Martian, I, Tonya, Logan Lucky, and Hot Tub Time Machine.
I saw I, Tonya.
You're right. Well, I've seen all of those.
I haven't seen any of them.
But the thing is he was like, he was one of those people that you go, I know him. Where do I know him? Oh, my God. That's a Winter Soldier.
I don't remember him in I, Tonya, to be honest with you.
I do. I can't remember who we played, but I do remember seeing, and that's what I said. I think I said in the podcast, I was like, I know I've seen him in other things.
But all those things happen after Captain America, right? All those movies came after.
Maybe
I know
maybe
I Tonya
not.
Definitely.
Maybe.
I Tonya definitely came after.
Right, but I don't think I'd have to look it up. But I don't think I don't think so. Like Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine, I think came out before.
Yeah,
I don't know about Logan Lucky either.
And The Martian maybe.
And The Martian, I didn't see, but that was after.
But here's the thing: whether they were before or after, he still doesn't have a role that you go like, "That's yo, hey,
right."
He's not a headliner in any of these.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, I mean, even just the name Sebastian Stan. Even if somebody mentioned it, you're like, "Who's? I know that name. Who is that?" Oh, that's that guy from, oh, he, yeah, he's a Winter Soldier. Oh, okay. It's still not a huge, you know, he's not a huge box office draw.
No. I didn't think we disrespected him though.
No, but I think he, I'm hoping he was being sarcastic.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Cause we love sarcasm.
Well, yeah.
And then, Dr. Joe coming in hot just a few hours ago. He's like, always ... like a rash.
Oh, yeah, like, I saw that.
I didn't even get it. I was like, always. Oh, yeah, our opening last on Monday.
It took me a second, too. Yeah, I was like, oh, what? I get it.
I get it, yeah. That was
that
funny.
Was funny.
That was good. Yep. Yeah, that's all I have. The Brightside Backcracker still in spring training, waiting for their moment.
I don't think they're going to get a season this year.
I don't know. So. Yeah, it's not looking good for baseball.
No.
Baseball's not looking good when it is playing.
Well, I like baseball, but
I know you do. But
have we ever not had a season? I don't think since it started, there's ever been no.
Maybe during one of the world wars. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think so. Because they went with the you know, league of their own. They went with the women baseball players.
Well, that wouldn't be MLB
during the war. Well, but it's still It was still baseball, I guess. But yeah, I don't know if they've ever, I know we've had shortened seasons because of strikes, but I think this would go down as the first year where there was ever like no season.
Where we lost it.
Yeah, which would be crazy.
Well, didn't we have one where there was no World Series? That was like in the 90s or something, wasn't it? There was a lockout in like August. Isn't that the one that ended that? I think if I remember right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure, but.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Yeah. I think they'll get a season in. I think look at us doing sports.
They're going to have to do it soon. It's almost, it's middle of June now, so they're going to have to do it pretty quick.
I think the more telling thing is that it doesn't sound like a lot of people, like, we miss it, I should say.
Oh, well, I've talked to quite a few people that.
Oh, really?
That do miss
You think
it.
The people in your area would be wanting the season to go away? They're not
I think they want it to happen so that
to
they
get
can,
it over with and make it a shortened season.
Right.
How nice does that work out? So, all right. That's it. Look at that. Bright Side on Sports. There you go.
Yep.
Hey, breaking news. Is that it? Is that all we have?
I think so.
I'm still upset with HBO Max, so you can still do your DC thing.
That's
there.
The thing, too. And like, I'm not quite sure how far this goes because I also entertain the notion of dropping DirecTV because they're owned by AT&T. So I'm not quite sure how far this is going to go for me, but
I have AT&T wireless. Are you not going to take my calls anymore?
I might not. Because make no mistake about it, AT&T is the evil overlord really responsible for this happening.
Well, I don't know about that.
It's a financial, this is the financial decision and AT&T is pulling the strings. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
But I don't know enough about the business to say yes or no or whatever, but I think they're too high. I think that's too high up.
Well, and like, yeah, and I'm still watching TV, so I haven't gone quite that far yet, but
John,
I thought about
needs.
It. I do have needs.
Okay. All righty. You ready to get some comic books?
Sure.
All right. What am I spending my money on this week? And it probably won't be DC.
Well, it's funny you should say that. So Batman 92 obviously came out today. That's the big, you know, that was the big tentpole book that we've all been kind of waiting for ever since the shutdown.
I'm ashamed to say I read it now.
Yeah, I haven't. And I want to, believe me, I want to read it, but I haven't. But surprising to no one, really. It looks like the retailers did a pretty good job of ordering enough copies of this. Funny how that works out when you actually have time to plan in advance.
Hello, Marvel.
So, So most of the main cover and the variant covers are really selling for cover price or even slightly below on eBay. But the 1 in 25 variant is seeing a lot of interest. It's selling for between $40 and $50. So that's definitely one to keep an eye on. All that being said, though, I mentioned it earlier, I did sell out of this book today. So a lot of people came out looking for this, which is actually great. It was really good. Like, today was really like a Wednesday, like a new comic book day.
Yeah.
I had a lot of people coming in looking for this book. I ordered a lot of copies of this, and I still sold out. So that was great. Like, I had my best day since we've opened back up.
Good.
Today. So it really was good to see people excited about coming in to buy this book. So it really was a good thing. And the sales were strong. So it just kind of shows that the readers are still there and people are still interested. So I was really happy to see that. I have to begrudgingly say that because it's DC and they're on my bad
DC
side
DC brought
right
them
now.
Out.
Yeah. But they did bring it today with this book. So, but yeah, really the only one worth looking for is the 1 in 25 variant. Luckily mine came in damaged, so I didn't even get to sell it. And the replacement's on back order, which I'll never get. So I didn't even get to reap the rewards of
what's the 1 in 25
of this
look
book.
Like?
It's a purple cover. It's got punchline kind of down in the right hand corner of pretty much a plain purple cover. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the punchline variant.
That's the Art Germ variant.
The Art Germ one, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Because, again, we had opportunity to order plenty of these. So,
right.
A lot of people
Didn't we have two FOCs on it?
we had a couple of FOCs on it. So plenty of people bought that up, but it's not, as of now anyways, it's not really a speculator book.
Well, we bought two of them because Joe wanted one.
Yeah. All right. The next book is Bitter Root, issue number 8. There's a B cover that's like a Purple Rain homage cover. That's got some people looking for it. That's selling for about $15. Again, for me, Bitter Root is not a high selling title, and I don't sell especially the B covers. I don't usually even order any. I had one come in as a special order, but I didn't have any of these for the shelf. So if you can find it, like I said, it's going for around $15.
Oh, are you?
Black Cat number 11. This is supposedly the debut of her Iron Cat armor, whatever that means.
It's about time.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to have caught too much attention yet, but you never know. It's just one to keep an eye on. I wouldn't necessarily run out and scoop up 10 of these, but
the people sitting around the table, we need ideas, people. We need ideas. What can we do? Yeah. Iron Cat?
Iron Cat.
Go with it.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Next.
We have an Iron Man. We have an Iron Spider.
Right,
what's next?
Might as well
people?
Have Iron. Right. We have Iron Cat. I haven't looked at it yet. I didn't get a chance to read that one today. It is on my list of books to read. And, you know, I have plenty of extra time to read. I'll be reading a lot of other books right now.
Right.
Since I don't have any DC books to read. But
couldn't X-Men be DC?
I know, right? okay. Anyway, next on the list is the Joker 80th Anniversary Special, also came out today. This had a ton of different variant covers, and there's also a ton of artist and shop exclusive covers out there for this. It's also a $10 cover price book. Probably 100 pages. And it also has a punchline appearance in it. So, again, not necessarily a big speculator book, but it's Joker. So I sold a ton of these, even at $10 a pop. I think I had like four or five of these left when I left the store today, and like all different, like one of each cover. So, or one of five different covers. So I really almost sold out of this book today, which is also great. Now, again, I didn't go super crazy on it because it was a $10 book, but again, it was just nice to see people coming out looking for this, because it sold much better than the Catwoman 80th anniversary from the week before, which didn't really sell all that well.
Well, so. Joker's quite
Joker's
larger
Joker.
Of a character.
Yeah. And then last but not least, we have Legion of Superheroes issue number 6. This is the first appearances, actually, of the Gold Lantern and Monster Boy. Copies are selling for between $15 and $20 today. And there's a variant cover that's selling for around $30. Again, this is a book that doesn't really blow the doors off for me, but I sold out of this today. So the couple of extra that I had on the shelf, they got snapped up right away, where normally I'd still be sitting on them weeks from now. So a lot of people were looking for that. I don't know what the long-term future is for either one of these characters, so I don't know how long this will hold, but definitely be worth picking this up today if you can. And that's it for Speculator Books.
All right, let's quickly move to back issue bonus.
Yeah, it's just a couple this week. So Ultimate Fallout number 4, which is the first appearance of Miles Morales. I think last week we talked about the third printing of Edge of Spider-Verse number 2, which is the first Spider-Gwen. So this is the second printing for this, which is, like I said, the first appearance of Miles Morales. This one is also starting to really increase in price. It's selling for between $40 and $60. This was just a $20 book a couple weeks ago. So, and honestly, this is before the news broke today that that movie is back in production. So I would expect to see both of those books, the Spider-Gwen and the Miles, just start really climbing in price. And these second and third printings are starting to become more in demand because the first printing, the prices on those are just starting to get out of reach for a lot of people. And they're looking for cheaper ways to get in and get these first appearances. So definitely one to pick up. And then the last book is a book called A Distant Soil, issue number 6. I'm not even sure what company puts this book out. This is the first appearance of Panda Khan. Don't know who this character is, but apparently there's a licensing deal for toys and a potential cartoon series with this character. So this is basically a previously a dollar bin comic book that's now selling for up to $50. So,
oh, geez.
Yeah, it's definitely worth picking one of those up if you can find one. Yeah. And that's it for a back issue bonus.
All right. Get ready, people. Here we go. What do we got for FOC?
Well, you know, again, FOC is pretty anemic this week, at least from Diamond. There's obviously no DC Comics on FOC. I haven't really gotten it to dig in with the other websites to see what the FOC is going to look like for DC, but they did promise that it was going to be a pretty light first week back, you know, ordering with the new distributor, so I don't expect there to be a whole lot. So there's nothing from DC. And again, just like last week, there was really not much of anything from anybody. There's one new series from Marvel, a book's called X-Men God Loves, Man Kills. This is going to be a two-issue miniseries. There's multiple cover options available for that. And then from Boom Comics, there's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Willow, number 1. And there's multiple copies for that. And that's it. There's no variant covers really to look at. Marvel has canceled all of their variant covers for the summer, it looks like. They're only going to have their main covers. DC will continue to do the A and B covers, but didn't get a chance to see any of them today. There are a couple of, there's always the Red Sonja or Zenoscope book that's on FOC that's got like 20 copies or 20 covers, but none of them really were worth posting about. So that's it. And like I said, it was a short FOC again. So, I did want to backtrack though and say, based on the announcement that DC put out on Friday, the FOC that happened this past Monday, so 2 days ago, there was no DC books at all on that FOC from any of the companies. Looking ahead to the week of June 30th, that is going to be a skip week for releases, at least for DC. And based on what these FOCs look like, it may be a skip week from everybody. There may just not be any books coming out that Wednesday, which will be pretty devastating at the end of the month when people are going to have rent due.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact that DC won't have a book on that week at all. And I don't know what Marvel looks like as far as what they have coming out. But based on the last 2 weeks worth of FOCs where they really haven't had any books on there, it's looking like in a couple of weeks we're going to have a pretty light release week. So just bear in mind. Yeah, keep that in mind. So
now, I mean, why is that happening? Because you would think there would be a backlog of books that need to come out from having no books coming out for like 2 months.
Well, I do know that like these companies basically told all their creators to stand down, you know, during the quarantine. Like they weren't commissioning or paying for artwork to be produced for books that they weren't going to be able to generate revenue on. So I think now it's just we're at the point where things are having to go back into production. And even though things were scheduled, you know, they were all shut down. Like they weren't actively being worked on. So
no, but
it now takes time to get these things up and running again.
Right. But so we get shut down in March, right? And right. Say you're shut down for 2 months. Well, there's 2 months of books that were supposed to be coming out during that time. You would think that when you started back up, it'd be like, just logically, you'd be like, whatever was supposed to come out the first week of shutdown would be the first week of the new startup. Because I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
They shut
I don't
down
know.
Production. I get that. But that means if you were, you know, you're literally now, I say production, but you're literally drawing a book in March and be like, stop. Okay. Yeah. We're starting up. Okay. You're starting. You'd feel like that the shutdown would have been the time with no books. I feel like right now it's weird. It's like, I thought that all of the books that, like, we'd have 2 months of books, you just start up and here we go.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird. I honestly don't understand it. It's hard to explain it to me because I'm not that bright, but.
Well, I know, you know, the initial thought was that they were going to try to ease us back into it, but it seems to be more than that now.
Yeah.
I don't really know what the reason is. You know, again, communication is key, and we're not getting any, so I don't really have the answers to why things are so sparse right now, but it's just not there. They're not on any of the FOCs, and like I said, the releases just aren't coming, so.
Right. Well, maybe they're afraid the market isn't, like, people don't have the money, and people don't want to spend, so they're afraid to put out a bunch of books and not get the return because people just don't want to spend. But like you said, I think people are hungry for it. Like you said, today was a good day. It was your biggest day so far. And I think people are eager to get out there and spend. And maybe the way they're doing it is causing us to be that eager because, all right, next week might not be as big. But
I will say it's driving a want. I will say, though, that prior to today, the first 3 weeks or so worth of books like, I wasn't selling off-the-rack copies very, very well. You know, most of the books were being bought by my subscribers. And that's why I was saying going into this that I think a lot of stores were going to be very cautious when it came to racking comics. Because, again, the traffic just isn't there. There's no random walk-by traffic. The people that are coming are already subscribers and they're picking up what they ordered.
True.
But like most of what I put on the rack last week, I pulled off the rack this week. Like it was all still there.
Right. Well, even
now
like-
today I sold out of my Batmans and my Legion of Superheroes and the Jokers. But like all the other books that I ordered for the rack, they're all still there. You know, it's like most of them didn't sell. Subscribers are picking up their books, but the market is still sluggish. So I don't know, but how much of that is self-fulfilling? Like it's sluggish because you're not putting anything out.
Right.
You know, there's nothing, because again, if Batman 92 showed anything, it's that if you put out something that people are a little excited about, they will come in to look for it.
What, if you market something for 3.5 months that people will show up?
Right. If you build it, they will come.
Right.
But I think, like I said, part of this is going to end up becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, because 3 weeks from now, like, we're not going to have any comics right. to sell.
Well, people aren't buying. Yeah, you're not selling. Right. Oh,
exactly.
That's true.
You know, it is a little frustrating. Yeah. Again, I do know that there are still markets that are just now opening up. So, like, we're ahead of the curve here in Texas because we've been open since right. May 1st. I want books. And at this point, I want bigger shipments to be coming in. But I know there's stores that are just opening back up that are feeling like I was 3 weeks ago, you know, where they want to try to ease back into it.
Right.
So I know it's like a weird balancing act that they're trying to juggle, but by June 30th, everybody should be open. So there's no real reason why we shouldn't have a set of books coming in.
Hopefully
for that
we'll
week.
See the FOCs ramp up then in the next few weeks.
Hope so.
So, all right. You ready to move on to checkout?
Yeah.
All right, let's get to checkout. Let's do your second one first, because I read that first one as well. So we'll do that one first.
All right, so I guess the first book that we're going to talk about then is Adventure Man number 1 from Image Comics. It was written by Matt Fraction, and it has art by Terry and Rachel Dodson. Looked like a double-sized book. Like, this was a pretty hefty book. One that I was actually really looking forward to. Because I like all the people involved in this. So, this was kind of, similar thing happened in the second book we're going to talk about, and you'll know what I'm saying if you read it. But, like, halfway through this book, it completely turns on a dime and goes in a completely different direction than what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So this Adventure Man starts out, and it's like one of the old pulp novels. Like, this is set in like the 1920s, 1930s, and it really has that feel. Like, they're old timey characters, and there's a superhero group, called Adventure Inc. And it's led by Adventure Man, and you've got a bunch of other characters, but they all have these like weird names. Like I said, they were named out of the 30s, you know, and it was kind of like an old school comic. But then you get to like the middle of the book, really like the staples, and it completely changes. Like, it shifts to current time, and like the whole first part of the book ends up was like a story that was being read by a mother to her son. And like, it had a cliffhanger ending, and the kid was like really bummed out because there were no more books, and it really didn't have an ending. So you're in, current times after this, and the mother, who actually, you know, is going to be our hero in this series going forward, starts to kind of be living the book, you know, finding out that it wasn't a made up story, like that all this stuff had really happened. And she finds herself embroiled in the world of the book. And, like, I'm not going to get into all the details of how and why, because it would take away the need to read it. But, but I liked the twist, because, you know, like I said, you really think you're going one way with this, and you spend some time meeting all these characters. Like I said, you got almost a whole comic's worth with, you know, this characters, and you think that this what the book is going to be about, and then you realize after that it's not, and it's going to be something completely different. So the writing in this was excellent. The art was fantastic. Just a really, really good book. This was super fun. I really recommend it. I'm definitely on board for this series. Can't wait for the next issue to come out. I like I said, I really had a good time reading it. So
good. Good. Yeah. It sounds. I don't know why I didn't. I don't think they had that any left. I didn't get to Friendly Neighborhood until late in the day today, so I don't. I didn't see that one on their shelf.
This was This is like a. It was a no risk number one from Image, so it has full returnability. So I went pretty heavy on this. Like, I ordered 25 copies, which for an Image book, for an Image book with no history, that's a lot of copies. And I'll end up not selling most of them, but I sold more of these today than I thought I would. And then based on after reading it in the afternoon, this will be one that I pile up on the counter and, and recommend to
yeah
everybody cool. coming in. So definitely, yeah, I would go back and try to grab one. It's really worth it.
Cool.
So
All right. The book I read, Deep Blue Number One by Mythos Comics, writer Bragi Schut, S-C-H-U-T, and art by John Upchurch.
Okay.
So this the title Deep Blue comes from Deep Blue, the computer that beat Garry Kasparov.
Oh, okay.
And so that's right on, if you open the book, and on the back of the cover, basically, there's a little bit of there's a timeline there. And that's definitely worth reading. Don't miss that. And it starts with that in 1997. And basically, it's dating 1990, that as the moment that computers, almost like Cyberdyne and Skynet, became self-aware.
Right.
Okay, so this was the turning moment that computers became smart enough to, one, beat us at chess. And then we learned that computers were good enough that we could replace humans with them. And that's where the story goes. And the main character, Dobbs, he's been captured by the computers, by the mechs, as they call them. And I really like the story. It's definitely, if you're sick and tired of Terminator and post-apocalyptic, you know, AIs taking over the world, this isn't for you. But right. If you like that type of stuff and you'd like, it seems like it has a different spin on it because it's a story within that seems really cool. There's a little twist at the end that, you know, I'm looking for. It's definitely an adult book. It's graphic pictures and of, you know, anyways, it's an adult book, but it's pretty good. I really, really enjoyed it. The artwork I really liked is very dark. Be in a well-lit room when you're reading this because there's details in the art that are nice, but it's a darker tone throughout the book. But it's really well done. I'm very excited for the next one, and I'm actually going Joe and I are playing a lot of chess right now. He's getting into chess with his friends and he's playing online. So it was funny that this had a little chess thread throughout the book. And that was pretty cool, the Deep Blue, because I remember when Deep Blue beat Kasparov and stuff. I was big into chess back then. But I thought that was pretty cool how they took a real-world event and then they turned it into one of those AI apocalypses.
Right.
But it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
And now this one I'm looking forward to getting to, too. So go ahead.
Yeah, so the second one is Old Haunts, issue number one. This is another book from AWA. Inc. You know, like I said, they're one of those like boom. Where I want to grab
exactly what I was gonna say.
Yeah, I want to grab their number ones and read them because so far they've been pretty great actually. All of these books.
It's
so,
to the point that I'm disappointed that I'm like finding out. I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't read that number one yet. I haven't read that one yet. You know, it's like all of their book. I have yet to read one I didn't like. Now,
too.
I just gave away my opinion of this book.
Well, I just did too. Yeah, I just did too. So this is the comic book equivalent of the movie From Dusk Till Dawn, right? Because.
Yeah, kinda.
This did exactly what I said Adventure Man did. You start out and it looks like it's just like a mobster book.
Yeah.
You know, like you're in a man's Chinese theater and, there's like a bunch of mobsters, and you think this is going to be like a mafia type book. And then about halfway through, you realize there's an entire supernatural element to this, and it's completely not what you thought it was going to be.
Right.
So, I like the, I'm sorry. Let's go back. This was written by Ollie Masters and Rob Williams, and it had art by Lawrence Campbell and Lee Loughridge. So, I thought the color, like the scheme, the color scheme of this book was very fitting to the mood and, like the story that it was telling. Like it really felt like an old mobsters movie. You know, the writing was really good, but I think the art, and now, like, while the art itself wasn't, like, exceptional, like, it was fitting to the book and to the story.
Yes.
And again, I think a lot of it had to do with the color schemes that were used, to give it that feel of, like I said, an old time, like I said, kind of like a mobster movie. But yeah, I don't know. Obviously, we've both kind of given it away. I thought this was really great. The twist was great. I really like where I think this is going. But the characters all seem to be, again, they just seem like a bunch of old mafiosos, you know?
Right.
There's the one guy that got out, and like his old running buddies kind of resent him for getting out, but somehow he finds his way back. You know, because he's part of a deal that, you know, they're all involved in. And, it looks like this is going to be fun. You know, we didn't really get into a ton of, like, what the story is going to be necessarily.
So,
but
did you read the,
I didn't. No,
the letters?
No, I didn't. No.
Read that. It is so good. It gives you so much more depth to the story. And the thing that I would add in that flip, we won't give it away. Maybe if you want, I know we're running long here anyways, but if you wanted to do a kryptonite on this, we could do that afterwards. But there's one thing they didn't say in the after talk, but they all compared it to movies. So, which writer was it that, Ollie Masters, he said a few things that, about ghosts of the past, and like you do things the way he read what he wrote. And it's, he says like, so like you do things in your past and the guilt that you feel for it always stays with you. And sometimes it manifests itself in other ways in the future. And it's just your guilt. And I went back and read the story again, and what I got from it was, and none of the writers mentioned this, but I'd love to get in touch with them. I'm like, it's a version of the Telltale Heart.
Yeah.
This story. And it's like, I was like, oh my, and none of them mentioned that, but it really is. It's like, and you know what I'm talking about. We won't give it away, but there's a spin on this, in that flip that happens in the middle and you don't know why. And now read what the writers wrote and their inspiration for this story. And it's really, really good. And I agree with you on the artwork. It just all meshed really, really well. The story, the art. And then when you read what the writers were thinking, it really brings another, it makes it that much deeper of a story to me. And it was a lot of fun. I can't wait for the second one. And I hope this isn't one that you're like, oh, well, it didn't go the way I thought it would. But
well, yeah, you never know. Now, this is only a 5-issue miniseries, so yeah. It'll be a quick in and out, that. So we'll have to see. But yeah, I guess to piggyback off of that, and backtrack to Adventure Man number one. Now, I did read all the notes, the creator's notes at the end of that one. And that's also a pretty interesting read. It's a book that's been cooking for a long time. Like the idea goes back to like 2007 or something. So like the three of them have been kind of working on this world and this story for the better part of 13 years. And this is an ongoing, and according to them, they've got, you know, years worth of stories to tell. Again, they've been working on it for a long time. So if it sells well, it's something that could go on for quite some time. So
cool.
Yeah.
Did you read anything else?
No, I didn't really have time to read anything else. I was pretty busy today. So
yeah, I was pretty busy, but I was able to get in. I got Undone by Blood, number 3.
Okay.
That story is still really good. I love 1 and 2. That's the one I did with Freddie from Indie Alley. Right. And we talked about 1 and 2. 3 came out today. Really good. If you're not following that story, definitely jump on that. It's, you know, Western feel. It's got two stories going at once and how they intertwine. At the end of this book, the two stories actually overlap identically, and it's really, really fun. I didn't see it coming the way it happened. That's cool. A really good story. And Daredevil this week.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to read it.
Wait till you read that. It's so chaotic. There's a scene in there where the chaos that's going on, they did such a good job of visually, you know, portraying the chaos, the action that's going on, and writing it. But at the same time, you felt like there was one part where, and it's hard to describe that this happened reading a comic book, but you're like, you're overwhelmed. But then at the same time, you get this sense of calm because Matt's like, you know, Daredevil's like calm because he's analyzing the situation. And it's almost like even in a comic, in my imagination, it was like you were watching it on TV and it slowed down because he was imagining. So it's crazy what's going on. And there's a huge, I don't want to say heel turn because it's actually the opposite of that. Right. And you're like, what the hell? How is this happening? And it's pretty cool. And then the ending, you'll like the ending. And I think it's a lot of what we were talking about last week of what's to come. So cool. You'll really enjoy Daredevil. That's been a crazy run.
Yeah. It's a book I enjoy anyway. So
yeah.
Yeah. So, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And I read Batman 92, but all right. Yeah. Anyways. So
moving on,
moving on. Hey, I would like to add a new segment.
Oh, okay.
All right. We'll just call it Real World. Okay. Because we've been talking off air about like other shows and other things we've watched. And like, we're always talking comics, but hey, what are you watching in the real world? What type of shows are you watching that don't have anything to do with comics?
I'm watching a couple of things right now. Over on HBO Max, I'm watching that, I know, the company that shall not be named. I'm watching the Mark Ruffalo series where he plays his own twin brother. And I still don't know what the name of the show actually is. I can't even remember.
I know
remember.
The one you're talking about because I see the ad for it. But
yeah, it's actually good, but it's pretty depressing. It's definitely not a feel-good show at all. I guess it had been running for a couple of weeks, so I kind of binged the first four because that's what's out, and now I'm on, like, the weekly schedule for that. Yeah. I think it runs, like, six or seven episodes. So we're watching that, and then on Stars, because I have, a preview with Stars, we're watching The Dublin Murders, which has actually been pretty decent too. So,
The one, the Mark Ruffalo. It's called I Know This Much Is True.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yep. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, it's not a feel good show at all. It's kind of one of those dramas. You know,
how come everybody's
his twin brother
that?
Is like a mentally. Has mental challenges, so he's playing like a dual role where he's like the one brother is taking care of the other brother, but obviously there's lots of issues going on. It's just not a very feel good type of show, but it's good. Like, you know, obviously it's well acted, the story is good, it's just depressing. And then the Dublin Murders, you know, again, as one might guess, it's a murder mystery show. Yeah. But we're a couple of episodes into that, and I don't know. This may also be like the book we just talked about, because I thought it was just a regular cop drama murder mystery. But now they might be introducing like a supernatural, like the killer could be like a monster or something. I don't really know. Like it might be getting ready to turn and be something different than what I thought it was. But
yeah,
they're kind of laying the seeds for that. So we'll see. But yeah, that's it. So I guess, what have you been watching in the real world?
Yeah. it'll get more natural as we go.
Yeah.
So I finished Space Force.
Yeah.
I finally finished that.
That got better. It started out bad, I think. but
I don't know if it started out bad, but it took a little to get going.
Unfunny. It was unfunny. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if that's the thing. Is it felt like at the beginning, like, is this a drama? Is this a comedy? But then there were funny parts.
Yeah, but it ended up being more poignant. Like, it actually got
a little bit more serious. I didn't like the way it ended. It ended like one of those, you know, not, I mean, this is spoiler free, of course, but
yeah.
It ended like one of those, like, there was like 10 minutes left, and I looked at Jen and I was like, this isn't going to wrap up.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I think it's not just a one season thing, so it wasn't supposed to wrap up.
Right, but I likened it to the first season of Titans, where we were like, well, wait a minute, this doesn't seem like the end of a season, because usually seasons have an end.
Like an and arc, then you yeah. come,
yeah, there's an arc. There was no arc. We're in the middle of the arc, and it ended.
Yeah.
But it was still good. It was still,
I ended up enjoying it. I didn't think I would after the first two episodes. I wasn't thrilled, but I ended up liking that.
Yeah. And the other thing, Jen and I just started with three episodes into Trial by Media on Netflix.
I haven't seen that. Yeah.
Wow. Holy, you check this out. It's all actual events that happen and how they use the media in how the media has, portrayed these different, events. And
are you trying to say that the media does not give an accurate portrayal of events?
What I think is
great. That can't be what you're trying to say,
no,
DJ.
No, that's not what I'm trying. It is what I'm trying to say, but it's like, we've known that. But what's funny is, so like with everything that's going on right now, and like Joe said to me like a week ago, everything going on in the world right now. And Joe's like, wow, the history on how history is going to show this. And I said to him, I'm like, this isn't going to be, it's not historic. This happens. And it happens all the time. And that's the problem. But this isn't, you know, but people, it's like, here we go again. And like, you go to this show and you're like, wow, how repetitive this stuff is.
Right.
And they made this show obviously long before what's going on right now. But they have, I mean, it's, I can't remember. Yesterday we watched the Bernie Getz one.
Okay.
The whole Bernie Getz trial. You just have to, it's really, really good. George Clooney's one of the producers of the show. And that's why Jen and I were like, well, Clooney's producing it. How bad? We're like, all right, we'll give it a shot.
Right.
And now we watch one a day and I'm like, I can't wait to watch the next one. Cause you're like, this is crazy. It's just like, and how long it's been going on. And you're like, you forget, we lived through all of these things.
Right.
I think at least the ones I've seen so far. It's cool. The first one was the Jenny Jones talk show.
Oh, okay.
Remember the guy that murdered the other guy on the show because he came out and said he was gay, and he's like, oh, yeah. I have a crush
and he had
on him.
Like a crush on him, yeah.
Yeah. And then the guy that had the crush that wasn't gay or said he wasn't gay, he killed him.
Right.
It's just that whole trial, and it was. It's crazy, the behind the scenes stuff that you saw. It was really, really good show. Really, cool. Really good show. Very interesting. So, and that's it. That's all I got. What do you got? Anything else?
No, that's, like I said, that's what we watched this week. So,
all right. See, that was fun.
Yep.
All right. All righty. That'll do it.
I'll tell you what I didn't watch.
I know.
Was any DC shows.
And I won't talk about them.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to watch them going forward.
Yeah.
Now I can't talk about them anyway. So what fun is that?
I know.
And as soon as your boycott is over, you let me know.
All right. Will do.
I'll be checking with you every week.
Yeah.
All right. Are you guys boycotting anything?
what are you not watching?
That's an interesting show. That's a long one. What are you not watching?
Exactly. Oh,
yeah. Hey, let us know what's going on out there. Let us know on Twitter at brightside_chat, or you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out all the great podcasts and get all the different opinions on all this stuff at Nerdy Legion on nerdylegion.com. And please, if you get a chance, go on iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe. And that'll do it, right, John?
I think that's
enough for today.
That's enough.
All right. We will be back. We will be back on Monday with our latest Harry Potter. I forget which one it is off the top of my head right now. But
Order of the Phoenix.
Is it Order of the Phoenix?
Yeah.
Number 5?
Yes, number 5.
Order of the Phoenix? Speaking of which, I meant to text you the other day just to give you the title because I didn't want you to watch the wrong one.
Well, what's nice is the I have them all digital on iTunes or on my Apple TV, and they are actually listed as Harry Potter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
4 and 5, yeah.
It shows right on the picture, so it was really easy. It was really easy to go to number 5.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. All right. We'll be back, and we will have a special guest again, guest star. So we'll see you then. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listen to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.